This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In John's Gospel, Jesus introduces himself using seven I Am statements. Each of these statements points to his ministry and authority as the Messiah. Today, Pastor Ben Lamphere will begin a sermon titled, Living Life Abiding in the Vine, from John chapter 15. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
We'll be spending most of the time this morning in John 15 as we understand what Christ meant when he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. The Apostle John has a very distinct purpose in the book of John. You can look at all different gospels and they have a different emphasis. For example, the emphasis of Matthew is that Christ is the king. That was very important to share that with a Jewish audience. Matthew wanted that Jewish audience to understand that the Messiah, the king, actually has arrived. Well, John has a different purpose, and that is to demonstrate that Jesus is the Son of God, and whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And so John also records, in order to do that, John records seven I am statements that reveal that he is the Messiah. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the final one is what we'll look at this morning is, I am the true vine. Each one of these I am statements has significant meaning that occurs in extremely significant context. For example, when Christ was saying, I am the bread of life, he says this the day after he fed 5,000 people. And they were starting to follow him and thinking that they were going to continue to receive a free meal. Think about all the dads. They were crunching the budget and they were thinking, man, if we do this for a month, I can buy that brand new donkey around the corner. This is going to be fantastic. All the moms were saying, man, I don't have to spend the night in the kitchen. This is great. All the college students were saying, I have something to eat. I mean, this is fantastic. And so they were following Christ, and Christ said to them, actually, I'm not here to just give you food for your stomach. I want to give you the bread of life. I want to provide eternal life. And so every one of these I am statements happens at a very significant and important time. Well, in the second half of John, Jesus talks with his disciples, and we've already seen in chapters 1 to 12 that Jesus is giving the signs that he is the Messiah. And then 13 on has a different feel. In chapter 13 to 16, there's a section called the Farewell Discourse. He's spending time with his disciples. We all know what's about to happen. He's about to be crucified on the cross. He's about to bear our sins. But he's taking these four chapters and ministering to his disciples in a very personal and sincere way. And during this discourse, he washes the disciples' feet. He predicts that he will be betrayed by Judas. He discusses the new commandment of loving one another. And he promises that the Father will send the Holy Spirit as their helper and comforter. And in the middle of this discourse, he gives this analogy. I am the true vine. And so this morning, we want to look at John 15 and see that just as the disciples were being commanded to abide in Christ, to be connected to Christ as a branch that abides in the vine, so too are we supposed to find our spiritual, life-giving realities in Christ. Let's walk through this passage together. First of all, in the first two verses, there is a picture of this analogy. There's a picture of the analogy, and this picture is given to us by three characters of the analogy. There's three characters: the vine, the vine dresser, and the branches. So let's walk through each one of these characters and see who they are and what role they have in this analogy. First of all, the vine. Jesus introduced himself as the true vine. Now, what is the importance of Jesus introducing himself as the true vine? Why doesn't he just say, "I am the vine"? What's so important about the word true? Well, in the Old Testament, the vine and the vineyard were regular analogies for the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. And so, for example, in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1 to 7, let me read that for you. "Let me sing for my beloved my song, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved has a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones, and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it, and hewed out wine vat in it, and he looked for it to yield grapes." Let me just pause the emphasis of this. So Isaiah is saying, hey, this vine dresser has done all this work. He's cleared the stones. He's done an incredible amount of work. He's put up a watchtower to make sure that thieves weren't going to come and take the grapes. There was all this preparation done, but what happened? It yielded wild grapes. "And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedges, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel." In the Old Testament, Israel brought forth wild grapes. You see this again in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21. "Yet I planted you a choice vine, holy of pure seed. How then have you turned denigrate and became a wild vine?" How did you become a wild vine? Well, what comes up repeatedly in the Old Testament is that the vine of Israel failed to produce good fruit. Instead, the fruit of Israel's vine is described as wild over and over and over. Israel's heart was not submissive to their king, and they repeatedly, unwillingly did not submit to God. They worshiped other gods. They married people from other nations. They desired a human king that would be their king. Israel failed. The gardener needed a new vine. And this vine would do the Father's will. And so Jesus declared, "I am the true vine. I'm the vine that actually is going to do the Father's will. I'm the vine that's actually going to bring grapes that are fruitful. They're not going to be the wild grapes. They're going to be the grapes that signify that the vine dresser has done good work here." And so this is no longer connected to the nationality as it had been in the nation of Israel, but it's found in being connected to the true vine, the Messiah. This vine will not produce wild grapes. If you're connected to this vine, there will be evidence that your life has been transformed. It's not going to be marked by wild. And so Jesus has introduced himself as the true vine. But who's the gardener? Who's the farmer? Who's the vine dresser? Well, it's God the Father. In Galilee during the first century, the illustration of a vineyard connected well to people's understanding. They'd be walking along the road, they would see vineyards. In that day and age, that area produced some of the best grapes. And the work of the vine dresser would have been highly regarded, well understood, because they would have understood that the vine dresser works diligently. And the role of the vine dresser was simple: care for the plants, ensure that the vines flourish, and have a bountiful harvest. And really, this passage emphasizes part of the role. And we see it in verse 2. First of all, it says that he removes fruitless branches. What are done with those fruitless branches? Well, they drop to the ground, they wither, and then in verse 6, they're thrown into a fire and burned. And then the second half of verse 2, the second aspect of the role is that he prunes the fruitful branches. And the purpose of this is so that those branches can be more fruitful. And so the big question then, we understand who the vine is, who the vine dresser is, but what about the branch? Who's the branch? Well, that's the last character of this analogy. It's obvious that when Jesus is referring to the branch, he's referring to people. And so there's actually two different types of branches to make note of. There's a branch here that actually is cut off, and there's also a branch that is pruned. And so what's the difference? There's two types of people groups here. Well, we can actually become a little concerned by this verse, because it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So our concern could be this: well, how are we in Christ and then be cut off the vine, thrown away, and burned? Is this teaching that we actually could lose our salvation? Is that what Jesus is saying in this passage? Well, it's important to remember the context of the book of John. Several times in the book of John, there is this category of two types of disciples of Christ. The first disciple of Christ is someone that we're very common with. We use that language very, very often. It's when someone becomes a follower of Christ. They become born again. When someone becomes saved, they become a disciple of Christ. Paul uses this language often. They are in Christ. That's a very Pauline way of referring to someone who has been born again. They've been regenerated. They've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But in the book of John, there is a second person that is described as a disciple. It's the person who hears the teaching of Christ. They actually followed Jesus as he taught the word, the truth. But eventually they counted the cost, and what did they do? They turned away. We see this in John 6:66. Jesus was teaching that he was the bread of life. And many people were following him, and they found this hard and challenging statement. And they say, surely you can't be the Messiah. And so it actually says, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Consider also the reality that one of the 12 disciples who followed Christ for Christ's earthly ministry would betray him and reveal that he was not a branch that would produce fruit. So Christ's point is clear. Not all who listen to the words of Christ are believers. And so we understand this culturally in society. Many people might even use the language, well, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Oh, well, what makes you a Christian? You know, maybe when their life is examined, the words of Christ actually seems to have no impact on the life. Well, I'm a Christian because I grew up in the South. I'm a Christian because I vote a certain way. I'm a Christian because I go to church. This is very common where I grew up north, where there are many who go to church regularly but don't know Christ. Maybe it's the position that your parents had as pastors or missionaries. Maybe being a Christian means that I don't do things as bad as other people, but you have no passion for Christ. These realities do not make you a Christian. Believers in Christ produce enduring fruit that reflects a transformation in their lives and can only be described as supernatural. Could it be said that not all who show up even to Palmetto Baptist Church and hear the words of God's word spoken know Christ? It's a sobering thought. It's a sobering thought. And this is why, even in our midst, we must continually rehearse the gospel. It's imperative to actually continually call those to repentance so that even there might be a time where someone does not know Christ and they've been sitting under the preaching of God's word for years, but there becomes a moment when they say, I believe that he is the Messiah, and that is the only thing that I can do to have my sins forgiven so that I can be right with God. So this morning, maybe you're in that boat. Maybe the Spirit of God is touching on your heart and saying, yeah, actually, that's me. I recognize that I've listened, but I have never said, I believe in Jesus as my personal Savior. And this morning, I would ask, would you come to Christ? Would you, maybe you think, well, people are going to be surprised. I've come to church for so many years. You know, I actually have a position in the church. And man, if I do that, that's going to be really embarrassing. Can I just tell you, that won't be embarrassing. Every single person would rejoice, and all of heaven would rejoice. And for all of eternity, there will be rejoicing that one has turned from darkness to light, from they were blinded, and now they see. Amen. And so this morning, if that is you, come to Christ. Maybe talk to a friend afterwards and say, I don't know if I know Christ. Come talk to a pastor. Come to talk to someone that maybe you don't know anybody. Just nudge the person next to you and say, do you know Christ? I'd love to talk to you about him because I need to be saved. And so some of the branches, they listen to Christ's words, but they're not true believers. And they wither and they produce no fruit. But there's another type of branch. There's another type of branch to notice this morning, and it actually produces some fruit. The vine dresser goes through the vineyard, and he's pruning the branches so that they will actually produce more fruit. Now, for the vine dresser, this is a critical task. This is a task that doesn't go unnoticed. This is a task that happens every year. It's something that is of utmost importance. And what do? They do this to cultivate a thriving plant. If the vine dresser were just to leave the vines to just grow everywhere, fruit production actually would be minimal. Pruning produces more fruit. But two more lessons to learn from the pruning of the vine dresser, even in if you were to go talk to any vine dresser, it's the pruning is guaranteed. There's no way to escape the pruning of the vine dresser. The vine dresser will walk down the row and they will look at all the branches that's coming off the vine, and there is guaranteed to be pruning that takes place on that vine. What an appropriate application for us. The pruning is guaranteed for our lives. So often we think, well, maybe I can avoid bad things happening. Maybe I can avoid, you know, problems happening in my life. Maybe I can avoid trials. Maybe if I just do enough, the problems won't happen. But here, God's word is saying pruning is going to take place in your life. Why? So that we can be more fruitful producers of God's fruit. But not only is it guaranteed, but it is personal. Do you know there's no machine that can go down the grape, the vine row, and prune the vines well? They don't have a machine for that. And so what? How does the vine dresser walk down the row? He looks at every branch coming off. And he makes an assessment. If I trim this, this is what actually is going to make this fruit grow a little bit more. And actually, this is going to do the purpose that I've intended for it to be bountiful so the harvest can be great. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut this here, and then I'm going to cut this here, and I'm going to cut this here, and this is going to produce ample fruit. You know, that is what the Lord does for us too. The pruning that's taking place in your life is not haphazard. It's not just, well, willy-nilly. It's not that God has a cookie-cutter system of how to bring change in your life and fruitfulness in your life. God actually has a very strategic plan for every one of us to bring pruning about so that you and I are more fruitful. Now, don't let this illustration be unconnected from our Christian experience. I'm sure you can think with me, yeah, actually that makes a lot of sense. The Father sovereignly brings external realities into your life. A disease, a broken family, a lost job, a broken marriage, wayward children. Maybe it's something that's actually good. Maybe it's something you just love too much and God has taken away. And the gift then actually replaces the giver. And what always happens? The pruning begins to take place. The pruning takes place. And then when this happens for a true believer, what do? They actually look to the true vine in life, and they're drawn into a deeper dependence and wholeheartedness on Jesus Christ, the true vine. He gives the branch, Jesus gives the branch, the spiritual nutrition to endure the pruning of the Father. And when we turn to Christ amid the pruning, we grow and become more fruitful. Doesn't that happen with you? Life kind of becomes difficult. Some event happens. Okay, that's sovereign pruning taking place. Well, I didn't expect that. Boy, I really should have seen that happen. No, that's God's sovereign pruning. You know, so often in our society, we love to blame everybody else for the pruning taking place in my life or your life. You know what I'm talking about? God does something in my life, it's their fault. God is changing me and something happened and we'd love to find the reality that all my problems are external, but the problem is God is wanting to do a work internally. And that is what the branch says to the vine dresser. And when they're truly connected to the vine, they say, I am willing to take the pruning. I am willing to take the pruning. And isn't this actually what Jesus did when he died on the cross for our sins? He turned to the Father and he said, I am willing to go to the cross. And so you and I, we emulate Jesus Christ when we say, God, I'll take the prune in my life because I know it's going to do something in my life. It's going to make me more fruitful so that I can bring more fruit and be bountiful for your glory. And John begins to point out some of the markers of this fruitfulness later in the chapter. Our prayer life grows. You see this in verse 7. When we talk to God, we're saying, Lord, I need your help right now. My life's falling apart. Please be with me.
Thank you, Pastor Ben. We'll conclude this sermon next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker, Ben Lamphere, is the executive pastor and the pastor for Soul Care at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Join us every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. for our morning worship service. You can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. If you have any questions about today's message or about Palmetto Baptist Church, you can email radio@pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is recorded by the audio team at Palmetto Baptist Church, and it's edited by C.J. DeLeo. Thanks for listening. Join us next time so together we can grow in grace.